T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Albert Breer, MMQB, with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, I was just saying that it's, you know, like usually a guy like Andy Dalton would be the best. I know he's not a free agent, but like usually Andy Dalton is the top of the available quarterback market in terms of veterans most years. And this year he's like the sixth or seventh best guy. It's bizarre.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I think that's why, for the first time, it feels like supply has outweighed demand as a position, which is nuts. And I think part of it is, like, we're in a really good era for quarterbacking. And, I mean, I think there's a few reasons why. Kids are throwing more at a younger age. And, part of it, I think, is NFL teams are being more creative. And they're more willing to kind of adapt to what kids are doing rather than forcing kids coming in the NFL to adapt to them. I do think there's an element of this that's there's a generally pretty good health of the position in like across the NFL. And so there are more good quarterbacks, which means there are going to be guys who, you know, I think 5 years ago you would have looked at like a guy like an Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston and have been like, that guy's getting a second chance, or that guy is definitely going to, you know, somebody's going to pick him up as a reclamation project, or he's going to be a bridge somewhere. And it's almost like the music stopped and there aren't any chairs left. And there are four or five guys that are left standing that, like you said, like even 3 or 4 years ago, there's no question those guys would have jobs at this point. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco. I mean, it's crazy to think like guys with resumes like that now are going to have to be a little creative in finding jobs for themselves.
Yeah, no question. Let me ask you this question, Albert. You're close to the Patriots and that whole situation with Tom. I said yesterday with Bull, like, I think the Buccaneers are going to win the division. I think they're going to go to the playoffs. I think they're going to be like a 13-3 team, 12-4 team, and Tom's going to just wreck the league this season. I'm so confident in Tom, like, going out this year with such a big chip on his shoulder. Am I crazy?
Well, you're not crazy to think that, because that's the truth. He is hell-bent on showing his value this year. And I don't think – I just tell you this. Like, I think he – a huge part of all of this has been they wore him out. They wore him down. They held him up as the example for everything the program stood for. He enabled everything there, you know, for so long. And, Dustin, you know, like, what it's like to be in one of these buildings. For so long, it was, we're going to MF number 12 – because that'll allow us to MF whoever we want. Right. And we're going to underpay at number 12 because that'll allow us to underpay whoever we want. And that's all well and good, and they're winning championships and everything else, but, you know, to live that way for 20 years is hard. And, I think at some point you want some level of appreciation. And at the very end, I mean, to be treated like he was just any other player, which is, you know, sort of the way he was treated. And, look, that's Bill's right, and Bill – I mean, he's won 6 championships doing things that way, and I have a lot of respect for the discipline he's had in treating everybody the same way. But eventually that's going to wear you out. When they had that phone call a couple weeks ago, I think Tom had just sort of confirmed, like, okay, like, things aren't changing here. This is the deal. And this philosophical divide that's grown is there. And so I'm good. Like, if I got to move on, I got to move on. And really sort of what that turned into then after that was a little bit of a staring contest where the Patriots were like, well, maybe he'll come back and we can figure out how we can make one man's terms fit another man's terms. And I think Tom was just sort of like, no, I'm not begging for my job back. Like, you guys said your piece, and that's that, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to show you guys how valuable I am now. And so, Dustin, I'm with you. He's going into a good situation with coaches who are going to work with him, with skill position talent around him that he hasn't had in a long time, guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard and Cam Brate. And, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, I think it's a little unpredictable in that we don't know if he's going to have the sort of drop-off that Peyton Manning or Brett Favre did at the end. But if he is what he was last year, I think that's plenty good enough to sort of bring it all together for a Bucs team that does have talent there.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, getting back to the other quarterbacks for a minute with Cam and Dalton and Jameis in particular, because I don't know if Joe Flacco, you know, I don't know what he's got left, but where ultimately, what is your best guess as to where those three will end up? And will at least Cam end up being a starter somewhere if he's healthy?
No, I don't think any of those three are going to wind up like going in somewhere and being like, no doubt about it, this guy's our starter. And there are a couple reasons why. You know, the two jobs that are open right now, I would say, are like, that you would consider open are the Chargers and the Patriots, right? And the Patriots are sort of set on resetting their finances this year. They want to give Jared Stidham a shot, see what they have there. And really, I mean, they went into the week with less than $3 million in cap space. They've got a little more now after cutting Steven Gostkowski. But unless somebody's going to come in there on a huge discount, I think they're okay going forward with what they have. Maybe they draft a kid. They kicked around the idea of trading for Kyle Allen, who, you know, would have been another economical answer. I mean, really, they've got so much dead money on their cap. They want to go through this year, reset, kind of go in with a clean financial situation into 2021. And having the quarterback situation they do right now with Tom Brady's $13.5 million in dead money sort of puts them in a position where it's like, okay, we're resetting now. And I think the Chargers are looking really hard at drafting a quarterback. They've got the 6th overall pick. And the question becomes, for Cam, it's do you want Cam Newton in here, like, with a young quarterback? And the answer to that might be no. And I think if you look at Dalton or Jameis, those guys would be a bridge, and you've already sort of got your bridge in Tyrod Taylor. And so I think with both those teams, there's not an automatic, like, you know, we could bring in a guy who's going to be a star, our next starter because of the circumstances in both situations. So I think Jameis would do well to go to a situation where there's an established starter in a, you know, a stable franchise, like a place like Pittsburgh or Seattle. Andy Dalton's got background with Jay Gruden. I could see him as sort of the veteran backup slash, like, in case of emergency, break glass guy behind Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville. And guys, with Cam, it's just unpredictable right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers would be ideal, but again, it's like, if you're the Chargers and you're going to draft Tua or you're going to draft Herbert, do you want Cam Newton in that quarterback room? And I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. And so with Cam, Cam to me is like sort of the wild card in this whole thing.
You know, you mentioned Jacksonville. I Gardner Minshew is far from a sure thing. So I thought that would make sense. And also, like, why wouldn't, like, in the Bears, why trade for Nick Foles? All three of those guys are better than Nick Foles, aren't they?
I personally agree with you, and Dalton was in the picture there, and really what they were weighing, the Bears, when they looked at it, they were looking at Dalton and Foles and saying to themselves, okay, which guy can we get a better deal on? And they got a better deal on Foles than they would have been able to get with Dalton, and I think part of the reason why they liked both those guys was because it allowed them to at least give Mitch Trubisky a chance.
Right.
Win a job one last time. And so, and both those guys, Dalton and Foles, because they have background with coaches on the staff, Foles has played for both Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo. Andy Dalton's played for their new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor. Those guys wouldn't need to take a ton of reps away from Mitch Trubisky to be ready to play. And so I think the Bears logistically, and look, like, I don't agree with it 100% either, like the idea of like giving Mitch this one last chance, but I think they did want, based on what they'd invested in him, they wanted to give Mitch Trubisky another chance, and Dalton and Foles were two options where you bring in a guy with starting experience who maybe doesn't need all that much time to get caught up in what you're doing because they got connections to the coaches in the building.
Albert Breer is with us, MMQB. Albert, any chance Antonio Brown makes it back into the league? And if so, would it be Tampa Bay?
I would love – that would be so much fun, right? Wouldn't it, guys? I mean, like,
oh,
the idea of, like – and I laid out the guys there, like, right, like Evans, Godwin, O.J. Howard, and Cam Brayton. Then you throw Antonio Brown in the mix. From a football standpoint, it'd be – that'd be fun to watch. He's still got some hurdles to clear from a league perspective. And I would say this. Like, I don't think the phrasing that Roger Goodell used should be undersold. And when he started talking about trying to help Antonio Brown and work with him, and it was less punitive and more like kind of rehabilitative, right? Like, where it's like, we want to get this guy back up on his feet. That would at least indicate that maybe if Antonio Brown can, you know, check some boxes over the next 5 months, maybe they would be willing to look at it and say, the guy's got a year of time served, we'll let him back into the league. So there's that part of it. Would the Bucs be willing to do that? That's a fair question. And, you know, there's obviously the connection there between Antonio Brown and Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians was his offensive coordinator, Antonio Brown's first 3 years in the league. But that can cut both ways. You know, you can look at it and say, Bruce Arians knows how to get through to him. He helped develop him. That much is true. But Bruce Arians also knows the downside of bringing Antonio Brown in. And so I think that's sort of just an interesting situation to monitor with Tom Brady being a champion for Antonio Brown and a champion of the idea of bringing him in and trying to help the guy out.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, so, you know, the Browns have obviously been busy here. They had Jack Conklin. They had Austin Hooper, their two biggest signings. Spent good money on a backup with Case Keenum, and then signed a bunch of, you know, interesting, if not, certainly not star players, but some startable players on defense. Overall, how do you think the Browns have done here in the first week and change of free agency?
Well, I like what they've done in that, like, there's rhyme and reason behind it, you know, and I normally, like, I look at these things and I just try to, like, look at a guy's track record, and then I, you know, is there like an actual functional plan in what they're doing? And the one thing I like about it, like first, like, you know, we've heard a lot about analytics, right? And you guys remember better than anybody. You guys remember what it was like in 16, right? When Sashi and Andrew Berry and that group
sure
took
do.
Over, right? Like a free agency, they were kind of like too caught up in the numbers and they wound up losing guys like Mitch Schwartz because they got like just kind of like they got too analytical. And so the fact that they were aggressive out of the gate, I think, is a positive sign. And then, again, having a plan for each guy. Austin Hooper has played in the offense that Kevin Stefanski plans to implement, having played for Kyle Shanahan. So I think that that works. The fact that you have multiple tight ends who can catch the ball, that's a tenet of that offense. So having both Hooper and Joku on the roster, that makes some sense. And then, you know, bringing in a guy in Jack Conklin where his strength is run blocking, and we know how much they rely on, you know, the run game and that offense, that makes sense. And so the fact that there's sort of like an identifiable plan behind each of the moves and there's background in the guys they brought in with the system that they're going to be running, even Conklin having played for Matt LaFleur in Tennessee, you know, I like the rhyme and reason behind it. Doesn't mean they're all going to work, but I think at the very least you can look at what the Browns have done and you can say, okay, they've at least got, like, some background with these players, and they know how they're going to be able to plug them into what they're trying to do.
Albert, obviously there's a lot of, you know, concern about the NFL draft. The GMs, of course, want it to get pushed back. I think it should get pushed back. However, the league is dead set on having it April 23rd to 25th on television, of course. What do you think happens with this, and how tough is this for teams to kind of work on a virtual situation?
It's hard, Dustin. I mean, I think part of it is like when you saw what you saw like last night with them shutting down team facilities, they're trying to level the playing field a little bit. And that like, and I can tell you this during free agency, here's the difference, right? So there was one team I know where the general manager was running free agency. Think about this, out of his dining room at home. Okay.
Amazing.
So that's one team. I know another team where everybody was in. Every coach, every scout, everybody was in. So how is that fair? You know, because so much of that's based on kind of the circumstances in each individual state. It was the same thing with the pro days, you know. Like, how are you making decisions on the health of people when there's a competitive element here? And so I think what they're doing right now is they're trying to kind of level the playing field. But there are still lots of general managers and head coaches that are upset about this. And the reason why, these are multi-million dollar decisions that they're having to make in a month that can literally affect guys' job security. And they're not going to have all the medical information that they need. And they're not going to have sat down with a lot of these players. Right. And there are going to be players that are going to be affected by this too. You know, I mean, Tua is one thing. But there's been so much background done on Tua. Like, at least maybe you could say he's going to be all right. I mean, what about this, guys? What about the fifth or sixth round guy who wasn't invited to the combine who still needs a physical?
Right.
What about him?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're
screwed. Like, how many teams are there going to be out there that are going to just say, and the kid can send all his medical information, everything else, but how many teams are going to be there that are going to look at that guy and they're going to say, well, like, we can't trust this.
Right.
So screw it. I mean, the guy's a fifth or sixth round pick anyway. We're not drafting him. So maybe that guy who would have gone in the fifth round otherwise winds up going undrafted. There are all kinds of little things here that are going to affect so many different people, from head coaches and GMs to that fifth or sixth round pick. And I think that's really difficult, guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there are lots of 22-year-old kids here who aren't going to get a fair shake because they can't have a doctor look at them. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, we can all talk about the entertainment value of it. Owners can talk about TV ratings. But there are so many people that I think are going to be adversely affected by this where, I mean, like, look, it's just not fair.
Right.
And are we going to go forward with this in the name of television ratings, in the name of having a diversion for someone?
Crazy.
I mean, I'm sort of with the GMs and coaches here and saying there are so many people that are going to be adversely affected by this where it's like, I mean, screw my entertainment. Like, it's not fair to a lot of different people.
Albert, we are out of time, but I got to hear you for 15 seconds. Has somebody kidnapped Mike Brown?
Katie Brown's working from home, man. Katie Brown's working from home.
They've spent
Von Bell and Billing. I mean, like, yeah, what they've done, they've been very, very aggressive. And, you know, to go in and bring in a Trey Waynes and to go in and bring in a Von Bell, I think the one thing that's sort of interesting about this, right, this is the one thing that I think that you guys should pay attention to. They, like, one of the biggest things they've taken a hit with on Joe Burrow is, like, are you serious about winning? This sends a really nice message to him, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%.
I wouldn't say the things are unrelated. I just leave it at that.
All right, Albert. Great stuff, man. We appreciate the time, as always. Stay safe.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.